Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Today is Sunday, October 18th, 2020. On this day in 1985, South African authorities executed black activist Benjamin Moloise after he was convicted of murdering a police officer. His hanging was a lightning rod that attracted international attention as it revealed the complexities and atrocities of life in apartheid-era South Africa. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Spotify original from Parcast. Due to the graphic nature of today's crimes, listener discretion is advised. Extreme caution is advised for listeners under 13. Today we're covering the tragedy and controversy that came with the hanging of South African poet and activist Benjamin Moloise. Let's go back to October 18, 1985, to a prison in Pretoria, South Africa. At 6 a.m., Mamike Moloise pushed through a throng of journalists as she raced to the entry of Pretoria's central prison. It's rare that someone begs to be let into prison, but Mamike pleaded with authorities for permission to enter. Her 30-year-old son, Benjamin, was scheduled to be hanged at 7 a.m., and the inconsolable mother just wanted to say goodbye. Benjamin worked as an upholsterer and was a talented poet, but he was also allegedly a killer. 3 years earlier, in 1982, Benjamin was arrested for murdering a Pretoria security officer named Philippus Selepa. It wasn't just a random killing. In fact, Selepa's death was a political act planned by the African National Congress, a group dedicated to fighting for black South Africans' rights. Both Benjamin and Selepa were black, but they were on two sides of a massive socio-political divide. To understand the situation Moloise found himself in, we must first consider the fraught struggle for civil rights in South Africa. South Africa gained sovereignty from the British in 1910, but a minority of white South Africans were dead set on keeping colonial racism alive. The 1913 Land Act made it illegal for black South Africans to be sharecroppers and divided residents of the country into racially segregated zones. The country's structural and systemic racism solidified in 1948 with the election of the Afrikaner National Party. Their credo was apartheid, which is Afrikaans for the term apartness. Now, we're familiar with unjust segregation laws in the U.S. and across the world, but apartheid-era systemic racism was truly vicious. South Africans were split into four categories: black, white, Asian, and colored. The colored distinction was applied to those who were mixed race, and eventually interracial marriage was banned altogether. 80% of South African land was reserved for the white minority, while people of color were forced to carry legal passes if they entered white territory. Black South Africans were also effectively banned from participating in local government, so they had to rely on their own political party to fight back. The African National Congress was founded in 1912 to lobby for the interests of non-white South Africans, but the group took a revolutionary bent in the 1950s and 60s. By then, the white government was actively slaughtering black protesters, and ANC members like Nelson Mandela knew they had to double down on their efforts. In 1955, they declared, South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black or white. 1955 was also the year that Benjamin Moloise was born in the minority township of Alexandra. Not much is known about Benjamin's childhood or his adult life, other than his job as an upholsterer and his predilection for writing poetry. Like many others of his generation, he was outraged by the white government's cruelty and joined the ANC to fight against them. By the early 1980s, the ANC conducted regular guerrilla attacks on local police stations. In November 1982, 52-year-old police officer Philippe Selepa testified against three ANC members for their role in a series of police station attacks. The men were sentenced to death, and the ANC knew they had to retaliate against Selepa. Late one night, Selepa was ambushed outside his Pretoria home and murdered with an automatic weapon. Benjamin Moloise was arrested for the murder, though it's not fully clear why he was suspected, other than the fact that he may have been in the area at the time of the crime and was known to support the ANC. Benjamin was placed in solitary confinement for months. During that time, he confessed to killing Selepa, but he later recanted, saying he'd felt pressured to confess. Since he had no access to legal counsel during confinement, his lawyer later argued that his admission was made under duress. The African National Congress also vouched for Benjamin's innocence. They admitted to ordering Selepa's murder, but they insisted that it was carried out by someone else. However, they did not offer an alternative suspect for authorities to investigate. According to his defenders, Benjamin was not a killer, but he wasn't completely innocent either. He admitted that he'd helped plan Selepa's death, but only because he was coerced into doing so. Despite the defense's efforts, Benjamin was found guilty of murder in September of 1983. He was sentenced to death, and his family knew that if they wanted to fight the sentence, they would have to look for help outside of South Africa. Next, we'll learn about the international fight for Benjamin Moloise's life. Listeners, who doesn't love a good ghost story? Rattling chains, mysteriously moving objects, unfinished business. I am ready for all things spooky, and so is Parcast Network. Starting October 1st, we're bringing you the scariest, most hair-raising ghost stories ever imagined. Every Thursday on the new original series, Haunted Places Ghost Stories, Alastair Murden summons a new spine-tingling tale of wraiths, phantoms, and chilling apparitions. These stories come from all over the world, including Japan, India, the UK, and even ancient Rome. Don't miss stone-cold classics like The Kit Bag by Algernon Blackwood, a sinister account of a condemned murderer's final wish, and the lengths he'd go to fulfill it. And The Miserere, a Spanish tale of a wandering musician who hears a terrifyingly beautiful song in a burned-out monastery and is doomed to capture its notes until he dies. You can find and follow Haunted Places Ghost Stories free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, October is our favorite month and one of our busiest, so make sure to search Parcast Network in the Spotify search bar to see all our new shows.
New year, new credit scores. Chime makes it easier to build credit using your own money and on-time payments with the secure Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card. Use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. To apply, just open a Chime checking account with a qualifying direct deposit. There's no annual fee or credit check required when applying. Get started at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary.
Now, back to the story. In 1983, South African civil rights activist Benjamin Moloise was found guilty of murdering a police officer. His lawyer and representatives of the African National Congress insisted that while Benjamin helped plan the murder, he wasn't the actual killer, but authorities sentenced him to death anyway. Benjamin was a black man in a racist country, and it seemed he had no chance of appealing his sentence. The legal system was simply too prejudiced. However, the case attracted worldwide attention, and soon some of the most powerful countries on the planet came to Benjamin's aid. Starting in the 1970s, the international community had grown critical of South Africa's apartheid. They could no longer ignore the country's vicious attacks on its black community, like tear gassing students and murdering protesters. The United Nations formally denounced apartheid in 1962 and put embargoes on weapons sold to South Africa in 1977. By the mid-1980s, superpowers like the US and the UK imposed economic sanctions on South Africa. Benjamin Moloise's unfair death sentence became yet another symbol of the South African government's cruelty, and the world couldn't stand idly by. Leaders from across the world implored South African President P.W. Botha to give Benjamin clemency. But sadly, the appeals fell on deaf ears. That's how Benjamin's mother, Mamike, found herself racing to enter the Pretoria Central Prison on October 18, 1985. It was just after 6 a.m., and Benjamin was going to be executed that morning. Mamike just wanted to make sure her son felt her presence by his side in the final few moments of his life. She was forced to show her passbook to the prison guards. After all, she was a black woman in white territory. The guards stalled as the crowd outside the prison grew. Journalists were there to capture the outcome of this controversial sentencing, while ANC members showed up to provide Mamike with support. But by the time prison officials let Mamike inside, it was 7:15 a.m., and Benjamin was already dead. All Mamike got to see was a closed coffin. When she left the prison, she gathered the strength to face the media. She made her thoughts clear with a simple statement. This government is cruel. It is really, really cruel. 30-year-old Benjamin's death galvanized the ANC and South Africa's black community, and just hours after his execution, protests broke out across the Pretoria and Johannesburg regions. One police officer was stabbed, several pedestrians were injured, and many stores were looted. But the anger filling the South African streets was righteous fury, for the way the government had callously killed a young activist despite worldwide appeals for clemency. Police made no efforts to be conciliatory. In fact, they even dispersed a vigil outside Benjamin's family home by firing tear gas into the crowd of mourners. But no matter what they did, they couldn't change the fact that Benjamin Moloise would be remembered as a hero and a martyr. Benjamin was a poet, and while imprisoned, he wrote the following passage. The storm of oppression will be followed by the rain of my blood. I am proud to give my life, my solitary life. It appears Benjamin knew his death would help a greater movement, and in the years that followed, South Africa's non-white community finally saw incremental changes to the systemic racism that permeated their lives. By the late 1980s, people of color no longer needed passbooks to travel between different regions, and interracial marriage was made legal again. In 1989, President Botha was replaced by F.W. de Klerk, who seemed dedicated to undoing the evils of apartheid. Between 1989 and 1994, radical change swept across South Africa. Racist laws were repealed, and ANC political prisoners like Nelson Mandela were freed and given a voice in government. In 1994, Mandela was elected president, and for the first time, the country's government was led by a non-white majority. None of this made up for the decades of pain caused by apartheid, but for the first time, South Africans of color could hope for a better, more equal future. Benjamin Moloise's arrest and execution, and the protests that followed, helped turn the tide against apartheid. While these events occurred in 1985, they're stunningly similar to incidents of police brutality and anti-racist protest happening in America today. The fight for equality is a never-ending one, but the only right thing to do is to keep fighting. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound design by Juan Borda, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Freddie Beckley. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Amin Osman, with writing assistance by Abigail Cannon. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Remember to join Alastair Murden every Thursday for the all-new series Haunted Places Ghost Stories. Don't miss the most chilling spirits ever imagined by authors from around the world. Follow Haunted Places Ghost Stories free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.